Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Rachel, exclusively on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. Today is Thursday, August 31st. And Rachel, this is the end of August.
Oh, no.
But not the end of the summer for us. Summer is a little late this year.
Yes. And good for me.
And we're dying here. But the good news is I got air conditioning finally.
Did you sleep last night?
I slept last night. I slept during the day. I took full advantage of the cool air.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. It's just so hot. I don't know. I was talking to this UPS driver who came up the elevator with me. I said, how do you guys even work like this? Mm-hmm. You know? He's like, well, a lot of water. But he wasn't sweating now.
They don't have any option.
Yeah, exactly. Except to change job, you know. But I guess when you take a job like this, mm-hmm. you consider all the implications.
Yeah.
Ramifications of
Definitely.
It.
Definitely.
Yeah. So how are you doing this morning, Rachel?
I'm here.
You're here.
I'm here. I'm a little tired.
Yeah.
I worked my second job late last night, but uh-huh. it was cool. It was yeah. a nice day on the beach, so.
What time do you usually go to bed at night?
Normally, I like to be in bed. I'm like an early bed person. I'm like 10
nice.
O'clock.
Nice.
But like last night, I didn't get in bed until after midnight.
Wow. Yeah. So that would affect you. I can yeah. see that. Yeah. I know. I usually stay up until I'm so fucking tired, I can't even move. I don't know why I do that. It's always yeah. like taking everything to the last minute type yeah. of thing, you know. I don't know why I'm like that. Yeah. Also, like when I'm hungry, I wait till I can't wait anymore and then I eat. So it's kind of like, you know, living on the edge.
Yeah.
But at the same time, so I end up going to sleep at, I mean, for me, 1 o'clock is early. So, wow. you know.
Yeah.
But
I can't stay up that late anymore.
I know, man. It's hard, you know. It's hard when you don't get 7-8 hours, you know.
Yeah.
So, well, of welcome course. To the...
It's
to the world.
It's the hustle.
There you go. You know, you wanted LA. There you
well,
go.
Well, I
know?
Mean, I, it's all for something.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, yeah. Got to bring home the bacon, man. Mm-hmm. No choice, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but you know, you go by the beach. The weather's so much nicer, right?
It was
I mean,
really
you were
nice.
There yesterday.
I
right?
mean, it was hot, but it was nice.
Really? Was yeah. it still hot?
Yeah.
Really?
The sun hadn't even set at 4:30.
Mm.
Sun doesn't set until like
no I know
70.
but
so
on the weekend I was there and it was 75 degrees, you know,
yeah but
so.
Like I'm standing on concrete pavement with the sun beaming down at it, like
oh really
it is hot
oh
it's
wow
hot. Yeah.
yeah yeah yeah
but it's not like unbearable, it's just
right
yeah
yeah here it's unbearable in the valley
yeah
because the air just stays here, you know, it doesn't move, there's no air, no winds, no nothing. I don't know what happened. But at any rate, we're complaining about this, but then in Houston, they're suffering yeah. big time, you know?
I actually went by before work yesterday and dropped off a pillow and some blankets at that
oh, nice.
Studio. There was I saw on Twitter this comic reposted like this studio in Studio City was taking donations to go to Houston, so mm. I was like, I definitely have things, like I have so many pillows, I'm a pillow weirdo.
Really?
I went through a phase when I had more money to afford my weird like neuroses, but I was like, I need to find the perfect pillow, and every fucking pillow I bought I hated. I was like, why did I just spend $30 on this stupid pillow?
Uh-huh.
So I was like, I have extras of these pillows that I don't use, like this one had feathers in it and I can't do the feather thing. So I brought that, some pillowcases, some towels. I mean, if anyone can just find a place to donate in LA, I mean, we all have so much extra stuff. You
That's
know what
true,
I mean?
Right?
Like, yeah. I wish I hadn't thrown out my ex-boyfriend's comforter because there's so, like, I have so much of my all these ex-boyfriends, like, articles and, like, t-shirts and that I'm like, what am I going to do with? But I want to give it.
Yeah.
away to something, I don't know.
Right.
Yeah,
you don't want to just throw it away.
I did. I threw it away. Like, oh, I threw away that blanket, but should have gone to Houston.
Wow.
So, but yeah, so if anyone can just find, you know, a ways to donate. They need more than just money. They need clothes and tell. I mean, people have lost everything. So
But it's amazing.
Pillows and blankets and toiletries. You know, like
they're, that's true. You know, they need everything. Huh?
Everything. They can't get access to anything, and all of the supplies have been bought. So
yeah, and everything is just wet. I mean, even in the shelters, they have water coming up to their waist. You know.
Yeah.
Wow.
There was one there, like one of the shelters. I think they had to be evacuated or something because the water is bad.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, it's just they're not prepared. But I was seeing all these videos, and it really does make sense because, like, all of the oil refineries and all the petrochemical plants and things like that, they're, the scientists have been studying the effects that those have on the weather, and especially, like, since that area is prone to these types of weather phenomenons, and they, like, there are scientists that predicted this, that it's only going to get worse with all the, like, oil and shit that's going on in the ocean there. And like, we don't realize, and people just see, like, even in LA we have fracking going on, and that is related to earthquakes, they say. So it's like, I mean, they kind of like predicted that this kind of weather phenomenon like would get worse. I don't think anyone anticipated how bad it was, but there've been some reports and things out there of like, just, you know, this isn't, it's not good. And also one of the, I forget what plant or something, there's one that's like on the verge of exploding. I mean, there's just bad stuff going on down there.
Yeah.
But they say it's all, you know, it's not helping having these big oil refineries and these plants and things. Like, I mean, it's not good for our environment at all. We should try to shift away from, you know, fracking and oil.
Yeah, it is something that takes a long time, you know. I mean, there's obviously a desire and an intention to go in that direction.
There is,
with
it doesn't
renewable
take,
energy
it, does, it really does, but it doesn't. I think more so the just like the bureaucracy and the politics is what takes, because like, think about it, we've had so much invention and technology and Tesla and things like that, and I mean, but there, we've found ways that we can shift out of oil and use, you know, solar power or whatever it is. I mean, like,
right. This would mean getting rid of entire industries. It's not something
I know,
that's
but
happen
but
overnight.
But that's the thing is, like, these people have been in oil. These are big oil families. I mean, so that's their bread and butter. I mean, it's killing our environment. It's bad for our world. It's not, I mean, it's just not.
Yeah, good. Yeah. Well, that's clear, you know. I mean, all you have to do is look at the air that we breathe, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, it could be worse, but you would think that
it is
in
worse.
A country like ours.
What it'll take is something like Houston to happen in LA with the fracking, and just like something catastrophic that will be like all linked to like something will happen, and then like shit is like, we have refineries and plants and all up and down the coast. I mean, we have you know, go down to Redondo. There's that big, I don't even know what it does, but it's like that big, massive thing that's in the water that's for water or oil. I don't know what it's for, but it's, if something were to happen to that, I mean, it's just bad.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So in a few minutes, we're going to have a guest calling in. We're going to talk about a new recovery center out here in the valley. And it looks pretty nice. But we're going to find out exactly what it is that they do, and everything sounds interesting. Yeah.
Not sure I'm the right person to talk about recovery.
I know. Well, we'll try not to bring ourselves into it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I
guess everything that you do too much of is viewed as an addiction, right? Everything you do too much of.
I guess. Yeah. I mean, yeah. If it's becoming unhealthy, if something is preventing you from going about your day, I would say, yeah.
Right. If it interferes with your life.
But that could be in any form. Right. Exercise, even food, people.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, I mean, people get into all kinds of stuff. And it's obviously not just about substances, you know, when people are addicted to gambling, to sex, to whatever, you know, to people. But so we'll find out from her what is the definition of addiction. So In other news, I guess Apple is planning to Apple is expected to introduce a new iPhones on September 12, and you know, usually these analysts always get it right, even though Apple stays mum about these things. So they're saying they're expecting probably three new devices: iPhone 7s, 7s Plus, and the so-called iPhone 8, which will be the 10th anniversary edition. So if you guys remember, 2008 was the birth of the iPhone, and the world has never been the same ever since, you know?
It's very true.
So this is going to be announced at the, I guess they have a new theater on their in their new headquarters, you know, Apple does.
Okay.
And there's a spaceship-shaped Steve Jobs theater there. And they're going to announce it there. So I don't know if you've seen pictures of it, but it doesn't look like a spaceship.
It doesn't, or it does?
It does. It's amazing. That's awesome. Yeah. I don't know if there's, no, there's no picture.
I love anything space.
Yeah. So do you like the Apple ecosystem? I mean, do you stay with their products?
Ever since I got an iPhone, I think I switched briefly and had like a brief like dip of insanity where I was like, oh, I'm gonna go back to BlackBerry, and then like as soon as I got the BlackBerry, like this deep inner guilt and shame came
really
over me, and I was like, what the fuck have I done? Because everyone around me was an iPhone. And I was like, I have no one to BBM. Like, I don't have anyone to talk to. My texts show up in green. People are going to think I'm weird. Wow. So I, as soon as I could, got rid of the BlackBerry.
Yeah.
And then I think it was one of the, like, touchscreen. And I was like, they're trying so hard. And they are not
anywhere near
or user-friendly. And so, yeah, I one time went back to BlackBerry. Right.
But what about other Apple devices?
I have an iPad. I have a Mac. Yeah, I'm an Apple queen.
Yeah,
like
Apple.
If I could, I'd have the watch.
I have the watch, too.
I mean, it's just, do I really need to be that connected?
Like, no.
We talk about addiction. I have an addiction to my phone. It's so bad.
Really?
I think more people have addiction to that. That's something we need to, like, be worried about, like the mental health impact
That's
of our
true.
Phones and social media, more so than like, I mean, in addition to alcohol, drugs, sex, whatever. But
right, they're talking about this
a lot. I know, but we're not talking.
This affects people,
right? But I feel like there's going to be, you know, we're going to start to see like people checking themselves for real into some sort of rehab just to detox away from digital detox.
Yeah. We got a phone call from a friend. Let's go ahead and take that real quick. Good morning. You're on the air. Go ahead.
I'm here to represent all Droid users of America.
Mr. Android.
A very fine product.
I've never even heard of that.
Issues
what is
to
that?
To be reminded.
No, he's talking about the Android.
I've never heard of it.
The Android phones? Those are the non-iPhone phones.
The Android is a special
Can't say
instrument.
I've ever heard of it.
Really? So you've never seen a phone
yes,
that's
I
not
have,
an
guys.
iPhone?
I'm
I know,
just,
you're
my
kidding.
My acting is so good.
I know.
I need to,
yeah, who hasn't heard of Android phones?
Yeah, you're one of those people that's like, I don't need an iPhone.
Right.
Like, fuck
right.
Apple.
People don't like Apple. Yeah, that's true. You know, I mean, I have both Apple products and PC products, and but you can't
honestly,
deny that Apple is cool.
Honestly, if someone hands me a piece of technology that isn't Apple, I don't even know how to work it. I don't know what I'm doing. It's a foreign.
Oh, my God. You guys sound like a leader.
Might as well show me a Chinese book. Because that's what
Apple is about, making things simple and so forth.
Oh,
I mean,
simple,
my Lord.
Simple
they are, and,
products
and every
for
time
simple
they
people.
Want you to get new products, they crash your product and they force you to buy new.
Oh my God, it's so true. My phone sucks so bad right now. And I was like, I haven't even had this phone for a year and I know exactly what they're doing, but totally worth it. I'm addicted to Apple. I love it.
My niece is so disgusted with my Droid. Every time she sees it, she says, Uncle, you have a poor person's phone.
Really? Wow.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's funny.
I love it.
But you know
like,
what's interesting?
That damn phone.
Yeah. But you know what's interesting, Casey, is the rest of the world, Android leads by a lot. You know, it's only in America where the iPhone is a big deal. But you look at foreigners and stuff, they all bring Androids with them. It's amazing.
Yeah, because we're free thinking people. We're people of the world. You know, you guys get this stuck in this little market in USA of America.
Right. No, it's true.
And there's a lot going on.
Plus, you know, when you use Apple products, you're bound by what they think is appropriate. So, you know, you're not going to have any drug-related things. They don't have sex-related things.
What do you mean?
Android is everything. Well, like, for example, like an Apple, if you go to Weed Maps, they give you a list but no prices for the marijuana, right?
That's not an Apple thing.
It's not an Apple thing?
No, that's a Weed Maps thing. Go to Weed Maps on any, even on
Weed Maps on your phone, I mean. If it's like on the computer, it's fine.
No, it's
really?
Not. They don't, Weed Maps, they don't.
See how confused you guys are? I thought life was easier with an Apple.
No, you can't list your prices. That's not an Apple thing.
Oh, okay.
That's a Weed Maps thing.
Oh, okay. So why do they list it on their site?
I don't think they do.
They do.
Show me.
I will. Go to weedmaps.com. You know how many times I've shopped for through dispensaries?
You mean to tell me
Weed
you
Maps?
Can't solve this problem with your Apple phone?
Casey.
Why am I talking like this? Where is this accent coming from?
I don't know, man.
I like it.
Yeah, you're like suddenly.
I want to go to a Trump rally. How can we go to one? I just want to peep
Casey,
it out.
Casey, I don't think that you belong there. I would worry. I just feel like I would worry that like you would beat people up.
Oh, come on. Casey.
No, because they would. No, because they would.
New friends.
Really? No.
Yeah. Casey, listen, our guest is trying to call in, so...
Okay.
We'll talk to you in a little
Android.
Bit. Thanks for calling.
Have fun on your Android.
Bye. All right, we're going to take our guest right now. Good morning, you're on the air. Go ahead. Hello.
Hi. This is Tina Gonzalez.
Yes.
Calling in from Caris Recovery Center.
Good morning, Tina. How are you? Thank you for joining us this morning.
So, thank you for having me on.
Of course. So, this is pronounced Caris, Caris Recovery?
Yes, okay. Caris Recovery.
Caris Recovery, okay. So, I introduced this a little bit, but your recovery center is a treatment center for addiction, right? And you're located here in Tarzana, which is very close.
That's right.
That's cool. So it's close to home if we ever need your services.
Why would we need her services?
Well, I said if I do, okay. But
you never know.
Yeah. That's interesting. So how long have you guys been around now?
We opened in June is when we started taking clients.
Oh.
So we've been up and going for about a few months now.
Wow, so it's pretty new. I guess there's a need in the area for more of this, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. It's wonderful that there are, you know, quite a bit of facilities out there, and you know, the more the better. You know, the more facilities that are out there to meet the needs of people that are struggling with drug and alcohol addiction is great.
Right. Now, so you've been doing this for how long now? You've been involved in the industry for a while, though, right?
I have. I've been working in the profession for about going on 9 years now.
Interesting. And what drew you to this?
It actually is something that I went through myself. I started using substances in my adolescent years, and the progression of the disease just went rampant in my 20s. And at in my early 30s, I got sober. My sobriety date is May 26, 2007. So I've been clean and sober for about 10 years now.
Nice.
So as soon as I got sober, that's what motivated me to work and help others.
Right. Mm. And I noticed that too, like most of the people that get into this is people that have had experience with addiction, with the situation, and they feel they want to give back. They also feel, I think, that if they stay within it, it's easier for them to maintain their sobriety, right?
Well, yeah. There's some truth to both of those. It's a difficult profession, or it can be difficult at times to work in.
Yes, I can imagine.
You know, a lot of times it's... it can be frustrating. It can be challenging. You want the best for others. You want them to know a new way of life. You want them to know that it's possible to have a new way of life. And, you know, the disease of addiction, you know, cunning, baffling, powerful, is is something that, you know, people struggle with, you know, really severe cravings and the obsession to use. So it could be a very challenging profession. So I think when you've been in it, you have that personal experience. Mm. You have a little bit more of an understanding of how the disease works. Yeah. So I think that's why a lot of people that are in the profession have their personal experience, and they're able to navigate their way through working with others just a little bit better.
Yeah. I think addiction is a behavior.
Behavior?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think, which I think can be like through different types of therapy, because it's absolutely a choice, right? So you get cravings, which are emotions, and there are tools that you can, you know, right, use and talk therapy to like get through those. But like,
right. But don't you think it becomes a physical addiction after a while? Do you think it's always
absolutely
just behavior?
Right. But I think that I don't know. I just have a hard time seeing it as a disease. Mm. 'Cause I think everyone has a choice.
Okay, so explain to us,
people,
Tina.
People who have a disease don't have a choice.
Okay, so explain to us.
Like, it's hard for me to say that, like, addiction, yeah, like depression. I suffer from depression.
Right.
That's not
right,
a choice.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. But mm-hmm, but let's hear what Tina has to right say. Yeah, go ahead.
Yes, because I do have an opinion.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Right, right.
Okay, so there are a lot of underlying behaviors in addiction. So what we do is we collect, you know, information from the client, and we do what is called a biopsychosocial. So there definitely is a genetic predisposition to addiction. So it can be biological. So, you know, depending on, you know, do you have family members? Do you come from, you know, a line of addicts and alcoholics in your family? Because there definitely is a genetic predisposition to drugs and alcohol or drug and alcohol addiction. Mm-hmm. So it can be, you know, like I said, or like you were saying, you know, there is a physical component. There's also a psychological component. So if you're dealing with something underneath, say depression, anxiety, post-traumatic stress, that can also bring on the addiction, because now you're self-medicating. It can also be environmental. So you may not, you know, have any type of depression or anxiety, but it's been in your environment. So, you know, it was in your household. Maybe there were a group of peers that you were associated with that, you know, were drinking and eating, and you fall into that.
Right.
So there's various, there are various ways that people become addicted to drugs and alcohol.
Right. Mm-hmm. Now, I would imagine the line between, let's say, you know, moderate use and an addiction. Would you say an addiction is when your life is out of control, and or can you be addicted and still be functional? Functioning.
Well, yeah. So, you know, the way that I like to define addiction is you continue to use despite the negative consequences that keep reoccurring. Mm-hmm. Right. So, you know, you it may start with family. You know, there's some type of family discord. Maybe it's your husband, your wife, your mother, your father, a significant other in your life where there is some type of strain in the relationship, right? So now, you know, you're threatened with divorce, and you think, okay, you know, I'm gonna stop drinking now, and you can't.
Right.
And then the next thing is, you know, you get arrested for a DUI, and you're like, okay, I'm gonna stop drinking now. I'm gonna stop using now, and you can't.
Right.
That's where there's a problem. Mm-hmm. These negative consequences keep reoccurring in your life, and you're unable to stop.
Yeah.
That's addiction.
Right. Wow.
I dated a guy who just hated that I smoked weed.
Uh-huh.
And he like begged me to quit. And my family didn't like that I smoked weed, but I think that they just didn't understand because I was medicated my whole life from antidepressants that my parents, you know,
right,
suggested I be on. And I took my mental health into my own hands at 24. And I was like, I'm not going to take these pharmaceuticals. They make me they don't make me feel right. So with the guidance of a doctor, I came off of them. And then I started using, like, I've always used cannabis since I got into college every day. I smoke weed every day. Mm-hmm. And it's never, like, prevented me from doing what I need to do. But I will say that, like, certain people in my life have had problems with it, usually guys I've dated or often my family. So, like, in that sense, like, that's...
That can create problems.
That can create problems. Yeah. But here's the thing. I could quit if I wanted to. Mm. But I've also never had a DUI. I also have a master's degree and have job. You know, I'm a productive member of society. But, like, I also think that, like, cannabis, like, people... I just don't want cannabis to, like, be looked at in a negative way because they're using it as it in treatment centers to help people come off heroin rather than the Suboxone and things like that. And there's like, and so for me, cannabis has always, like, been classified in the drug, like, as severe as heroin. And, like, for me, I just, like, I need to fight that stigma always. Yeah. Like, I always have to represent the cannabis industry in the positive way.
Dina, let me ask you this. Do people come in for marijuana addiction to your recovery center?
Yes, absolutely.
Really?
Yes.
Uh-huh. So it can ruin people.
Several times.
So it can ruin lives, but not in our case, Rachel. But you can't also generalize from you everybody else, you know?
I don't know. I think that anything can ruin lives. Toothpaste, if you drink too much water, water has killed more people than cannabis in this world. It's true.
Oh, God.
People can drown themselves from drinking water. No one has ever died from smoking. Okay.
Tina, give us your opinion.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, Tina, go ahead.
And I was just going to say, you know, when we have a client that comes in for alcohol abuse or for heroin abuse, you know, our thought process is, you know, we've already got that the addiction going. So, you know, to cross over to another substance would just be not really dealing with the underlying issues that come with addiction.
Right.
So, you know, so with a client that came in with heroin, you know, we're going to say, hey, you know, let's see what other...
But you'll give them a Suboxone, which is so much more harmful than cannabis.
You'll
give them like a prescription. You'll give them like a prescription from a pharmaceutical company that is just as addicting, but you won't. Give them can't. That's where I have a problem with the treatment center.
I don't know if it's addicting.
Well, that's not the way. We won't just give somebody a here at Caris. We won't just give somebody a prescription for Suboxone and say, okay, here you go. You know, make it work. You know, we work directly with the doctor. They're under the physician's care, and it's usually in a very aggressive taper, which is just to get them through the physical withdrawal, and, you know, within 2 or 3 days, they're tapered to a lower amount, and then they're taken off of it completely. So when they leave Caris, they're not on any type of Suboxone or, you know, any type of a narcotic when they leave here. Right. So, we work with them through that.
Terrible, because the withdrawal symptoms, like the cannabis, would just... help with the withdrawal.
Okay, well, that's your opinion, you know. I mean,
but we're talking to someone. But it's not. They're using it in treatment centers. Like, it's
okay. They are, but the thing is that she's talking about, you know, moving from one substance to another does not solve the problem, you know.
But that's how we approach it here at Caris.
Right now, so let us know. It's not a big place, so you give a lot of personal attention to people. How many?
Yes.
How many patients can you have at a time?
Six. Max is six clients at a time.
Oh, wow.
So it does set, so the setup is very intimate. Everyone gets individualized care. All treatment
expensive?
Plans are tailored to the individual.
Is it expensive?
What was that?
Is it expensive?
I don't know what the price is. I know that we take most insurance,
right.
Usually it's covered by insurance companies. And if it's private pay, that goes to our owner, so our program director, and they work that out. So I try to stay out of all that.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
And everything else.
Yeah. So now I want to ask you also. So you guys have like all kinds of therapies there too. I would imagine to to find out why the behavior started in the first place. Like Rachel said, it is big part behavior, and do you get into the heart of why people are doing this in the first place, why they're addicted?
Yes, it's ongoing, and most when clients come in, like I said, they go through the initial biopsychosocial assessment to get a background on what it is that they've been dealing with, physically, emotionally, psychologically, and from there they continue to work with the therapist. So they meet with they have individual therapy twice a week. And they work with an individual counselor twice a week. So they're getting individual sessions four times a week,
right,
to work on the underlying issues with the therapist and then the substance abuse issues with the counselor.
Right.
And in addition to that, they do 6 hours of programming, group therapy. And in that group therapy, there's equine therapy. We do art therapy, we have yoga, we also work with an actor who comes in and does a lot of improv, so that they get to they get to learn how to verbalize with talking to other people. They get to social skills, they get life skills, relapse prevention, and then our therapists are certified in CBT therapy and DBT
type of therapy that I do. I love it.
Really?
Oh, great.
It's amazing.
Yeah, very successful. Evidence, a lot of evidence based.
They are saying they should teach. I feel like if they taught DBT therapy in schools, it would help with a lot of addiction. Like, if they, I'm serious, they should teach. Because think about it, it's basic or even in businesses and in like companies, because think about it. I think a lot of the reason why people, addiction is because we don't know how to communicate I think men and women have different struggles with when they're down or when they need help. It's hard to communicate mm-hmm. that they need
yeah,
that.
The
and
emotion.
Where do they go?
Mm-hmm.
So they use these substances, whatever form it comes in, to mask that feeling mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. we're not taught at a young age how to communicate for ourselves and how to advocate.
Yeah.
We just learn math, science, and reading. You know what I mean? Like our teachers.
I agree.
And we are not taught, especially men, that emotions, since we are emotional beings, that is normal and that is okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's more just like, so that's why I think, especially in this country more so than any, it's a taboo to be emotional. It's a taboo, any type of emotion is looked at as certain,
right,
a certain way. So, I mean, it makes sense, but I just love DBT therapy. It's literally changed my life.
Yeah. I agree. And yeah, in our society, we're conditioned to, hold it in, buck up, just pull ourselves up, by our bootstraps and,
so
don't
show
any emotion
problems.
And keep going, keep going, keep going.
Right.
I agree.
Sounds good. Well, Karis Recovery, that's in Tarzana out here in the valley. And
mm-hmm.
I would imagine you take people from all over the place, right? Not just local.
We do.
Yeah, we
do. A lot of our clients, I'd say a little more than half of our clients actually come from other states.
Oh, wow.
So,
looks like
we've got people coming in from the East Coast. We got people coming in from the Midwest. So, yeah.
Very
people
cool.
From all over.
And I see it's a beautiful place, too, huh? I mean,
it's gorgeous.
Very relaxing.
Oh, it's gorgeous. It's got trees all around. We have a beautiful swimming pool. We're just right over the hill to the beaches. And
right.
It's a great location.
Right.
Wonderful location. Very, very serene, very tranquil.
So,
yeah,
this is
a great place to heal.
And that's an inpatient program, right? So people will know.
It is. We do detox residential. Uh-huh.
Okay. Sounds great. Well, so tell people how they can find out more about the center and how they can contact you.
Okay. Well, yeah. Well, we do have a website at www.carusrecovery.com. And you can also find us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook.
Okay. Sounds good. CarusRecovery.com, that's CARUS, and you can find out more. Tina, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Oh, thank you for having me. This was great. Thank you, Rachel.
Thank you
for all of your input.
I mean, this place looks amazing in the pictures. Maybe I should Maybe I should look for an addiction that I might have just so I can spend some time
that's
here.
That's not how it works. Just book a room down there. You're taking up a bed for someone who needs it. Exactly.
I know. Well, it
but
looks...
we would love to have you over for a visit and maybe have some lunch. We have a wonderful chef who caters our meals. So, yeah,
wow.
Come on by.
Wow, sounds great. Well, obviously, if you're going to do it right and... Karis Recovery sounds pretty good to me. So there you go. And they have detox programs, residential. I see sober living as well. So you guys take care of the whole thing. You know, I wanted to ask you, I know you guys probably utilize a 12-step program too, right?
We do, yes. Yeah. Uh-huh. We want everybody to be connected with something in the community, you know, for ongoing treatment.
Right.
And as you've probably heard, you know, it's a journey. Recovery is a journey. It's not something that's just, you know, solved in the, you know, 30, 45 days that you're here. So we want to connect people with other opportunities in the community to add to their recovery. So mm-hmm. we do utilize 12-step meetings. It could be something, not necessarily 12-step, but they have other programs in the community. I know we attend Refuge Recovery other types of programs like that. So it's not just the, you know, AA and a 12-step program.
Yeah, because I heard the 12-step program doesn't work. Like, because there are people
but
who are...
But it works for a lot of people.
But for a lot of people,
yes,
it doesn't because they're,
for me.
Because they're not, like, people aren't religious. And
it's not about religion.
There
really
is God
isn't.
In all of that stuff.
No, they say higher power and all that. But
but some people don't identify with it.
People don't, Rachel. You're absolutely right. Some people don't. And that's why we like to, you know, offer whatever it is that's going to work. And that's the beauty of our program is that we
Here's
so
an NPR
many...
article. NPR, with sobering science, doctor debunks the 12-step recovery.
Okay, that's one doctor, you know.
There's,
but it works,
there's so many
but
articles.
But you'll find addicts... former addicts and alcoholics
that
would swear by it.
I have friends that are former whatevers who are like, the 12-step program doesn't work. There are people. I'm just saying it doesn't work for everyone.
And you're right. It doesn't work for everyone. I know many, many people that it has worked for, and I know that there's meetings all over, all over the country, international, they're everywhere.
I just think our society needs to approach some people. Yeah, our society needs to approach drugs and alcohol differently. Mm-hmm. They're not going to go away. And there are uses for some of these drugs like cannabis and mushrooms, and scientists are finding out. But the approach that we have in our society is no, 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 no. And that makes people want to do it more. And I think that, I really do. I think if there's like just a mature... If knowledge is power, and I think if you educate people, and especially like kids, not encouraging them, but just educating them rather than telling them no,
right? But you're assuming it's all about thinking, you know.
There's a definite need for education. There's a definite
you can't just tell people not to do something.
You're absolutely right.
You can't just tell people not to exactly.
But you're not. But usually, the person that has a problem, they reach out for somebody because they're having a problem.
No, what I'm saying.
So they need tools.
Well, what I'm saying is like. We don't have a lot of education on the drugs. And like, if we educated kids at a young age, like alcohol is legal, but here are the effects of it. And you know what I mean? Like, there's no discussions like that. It's like, okay, when you're 21, you can drink. You know what I mean? Like,
I don't think that helps, Rachel. I don't think
you know, and there's definitely, you know, a place for that, you know, at this current time and in the home. You know, I think it can start in the home. If it's not in the schools yet, I definitely think that there's an urgency to start it.
Because DARE doesn't work.
Start it with your children.
DARE has been proven not to work.
DARE?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. But the thing is that all I can tell you is I got a lot of education.
And you're a stoner.
Yeah, exactly. But so the education doesn't work.
So you did get a lot of education?
I did.
Yes, that's my point. You know how to responsibly use drugs and alcohol.
No, that's not true. What I'm saying is they can tell you all you want. It's not about thinking. It's like behavior, like you said. It's like it doesn't even go through your logic. You know, reasoning.
Yeah, but think about it. We teach people not to rape people, and you know, most of us don't do that.
Okay, well, that's one other conversation. But Tina,
I don't know.
No, it is really. It's for another conversation.
I think it's the war on drugs was a failure. DARE is a failure, and I think that.
So are you saying that that treatment does not help?
No, that's not what I'm saying.
Okay,
I'm
so obviously that, there's room for this, right?
No,
no,
I didn't say that treatment doesn't help. I'm okay. just saying the how we approach drugs, alcohol in our country needs to be different.
Okay. Well, you said it doesn't work, but at any rate, Tina.
I didn't say it doesn't work.
I thought you said it doesn't work.
I'm saying that there it doesn't work for certain people.
For certain people,
for
I
a
agree.
Lot of people, right. you know, these 12 steps, DARE programs, the war on drugs, it doesn't work. It's not effective. Mm. You're still going to have, you know what I mean? So it's like there needs to be a different approach.
Right. But that's what they're doing. I mean, they're educating people too. But, you know, Tina, listen, we took too much of your time. And do you have anything? No, no, no. Any final thing that we didn't mention yet? Obviously, you guys can go to the website, CourageRecovery.com, find out more. You can contact Tina directly, right? You're the program director there?
Yeah, I'm the program coordinator, and absolutely, you can contact me directly.
Okay, uh-huh. sounds good. And they have a phone number on the website, 877-225-7724. And if you need help, this is the way to go. I know that if these things didn't work, they wouldn't exist, you know?
And, yeah, and it's working here at CARS. We've had, you know, we have many successes walk through the door. So it's yeah. definitely working here. And, you know, if there's anybody out there that is struggling with drugs or alcohol, there is help. And it may not be, you know, here at CARS, like Rachel was saying, but there's help and you're not alone.
Right, right. And I think the key to this is also to be around people, right? Because I think using and drinking is usually a lonely thing.
No.
Yeah, and it does. It gets very, you do begin to isolate, especially, you know, when it's taken hold. But, you know, there's a saying, and it's, I can't, we can.
Right.
That's a common saying in recovery, and we can't do it alone. I know I couldn't do it alone. I definitely needed help from others. I definitely needed the support
right.
and the accountability also. So, right. It, you know, I'm very, I really do like that saying of, I can't, we can. So together right. we can do it.
There you go. And you're living proof of this too, right? 10 years sober?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Absolutely. Yeah. Living proof one day at a time.
Yeah.
The cliche.
Tina Gonzalez, CARS Recovery. Thank you so much for joining us this morning and
oh,
all the
thank
best.
Thank you for having me, Sam and Rachel.
Of
this
course. It's been a pleasure and a very educational conversation. So thanks again. And I, for one, believe in these things, you know. So
you are.
I do.
Oh, my God.
I've been
We're
once.
We're going to go
you know?
Smoke a joint after this.
Okay,
right.
but. But it's still,
right.
you know, listen, if it, the, at times I thought it was affecting my life adversely.
Weed?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
But wow. that was back in the days. Now I just, but look, Rachel, whatever you say, if we use it every day, I think it's pretty safe to say we're addicted
no,
to it.
No,
you know?
I refuse to
Do
say
you
that.
Think about, that's, don't you think about
type,
it all the
that
time?
That is the type okay. that
well,
does not, that is the type, that's not what we need in the cannabis okay. industry. We don't need those stereotypes. We don't need okay. that type of
But
view.
That's my
that's,
opinion
that,
on
that's
myself.
Fine, but you don't help okay. the cannabis industry then.
Okay,
with
so
that
I don't
outlook.
Help the industry. I'm not here to help.
I'm here to move past that stereotype and to
right.
to move to like
and we appreciate
shift
that,
the conversation from yeah. weed is that's right. that's exactly what we don't need.
Right.
I'm an advocate for this.
Okay,
industry,
but what
so.
About harder drugs? Do you think people need help with those? Alcohol?
I don't even really
opioids.
Like alcohol, and I feel sad
right.
for people who
right. But do you think they need help?
Yes, of course. If you can't, if you are in a place where something is negatively affecting, I'm in therapy.
That's
I'm
what
a
I
proponent
mean.
For that.
That's
of
what
course.
I mean. Negatively
I'm just
affecting.
Saying find something that works for you. But I think that it's all about the approach. Like, I think it's just sad to me that, I don't know, I just think that weed gets a bad rap. It falls in line with all the
right.
other drugs and with heroin and what people are really addicted to. And I think that, I mean, I don't know. I'm an advocate for this industry. So for me,
right.
for you to say that I'm addicted to weed, I don't look at it like
okay,
that.
You're
it's
not.
A
it's okay,
a medicine for me.
It,
it's a medicine for me.
It doesn't
it's a
have
medicine
negative
for
effects
people.
On your life, then, you know,
yeah.
then that's then that's fine.
And exactly. Cannabis?
I know for myself, Rachel, I did smoke pot. I thought I'd smoke pot until I died.
Yeah.
And then looking back now that I'm sober, looking back at my pot use, at the way that I smoked marijuana, I'm like, oh,
you also
yeah,
didn't know like, what you were smoking.
Everything.
You also didn't know what you're smoking. Like, the weed industry is so different than what it was. Like, people, like, they take really, there are people genetically making sure that weed is the highest of quality of medicine for people, because it is a medicine for people. It's not a drug.
Okay.
And
well,
there,
okay.
And so what I'm...
Rachel, you're romancing the drug right now, and we're not talking about marijuana. We're talking about recovery for heavy drugs and stuff, you know?
I know, but what... But, she was,
or marijuana.
Or marijuana, yeah. But at any rate, I think the bottom line, Rachel, is you're right. You're not addicted because it's not affecting your life adversely, and you don't feel you have a problem, so you don't.
Do you eat food every day?
Yeah.
You're addicted to food.
Okay, I am.
Yeah.
I am. My body needs it.
Exactly. And my body, everyone has an endocannabinoid system.
Right.
It's a fact. And their bodies actually crave cannabis.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
We can talk to Olivia about it after for
all
our
right.
weed podcast.
All right, Tina.
You might want to be in on that one, too.
Yeah.
Tina, I don't know.
Tina Gonzalez.
We pretty much only have guests that are pro cannabis.
Program coordinator for Karis Recovery. Tina, thank you so much.
Yeah.
Everybody check out
KarisRecovery.com.
And I think what we learned from this is not every drug use is an addiction. And we'll leave it at that.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right,
sounds
Tina.
Good.
Thank you so much, Tina. All the best
okay,
to you.
Thank you. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Oh, my gosh. But can I just say,
I feel bad
for people who are sober, because I think we need drugs and alcohol more than anything
yeah.
in this country right now. But yeah, I mean, I just...
But look, you're making light of it.
No,
let
I just...
Me tell you,
I think
people
have... It's just... I don't know. I've never...
Have you been to a rehab place before?
Yes.
Okay, so have I.
Twice.
Okay. I went.
But not for
drugs
and alcohol.
I went for dual diagnosis mm-hmm. for bipolar and marijuana mm-hmm. use, okay?
Yeah.
They
so it obviously
expected
worked.
Me, they expected me to say that I'm an addict.
Yeah.
And I said, I'm not an addict.
Yeah.
I'm here because of my depression.
Right.
I'm self-medicating. I'm not here for the marijuana.
I don't think those programs
work.
I think they take advantage of people and their money.
No, but let me tell you. I was the only one there for marijuana, and people looked at me funny, like,
yeah.
why are you here? But I got to tell you, there's a lot of heroin use.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of alcohol use, and it's not funny. I mean, these people end
up
in jail.
I don't think it's funny, but I think a lot of these places take advantage of people and take their money, because I went to places like that. And a lot of places that popped up in the 2000s got shut down for taking advantage of people and taking their money
but you can't,
and not really
but you're
actually
generalizing
helping
everybody.
Them.
I think there's a lot of great places. Look, we have a co-host here who runs the Betty Ford Center. They have records of helping people. They wouldn't exist otherwise, you know?
I just think that there's a reason why people in this country fear drugs, and I think that there are certain... substances that with given the science would be helpful more so than the pharmaceutical industry, which I think is in bed with some of these treatment centers. And I think that I don't agree with a lot that's going on with them.
Right.
And I think they take advantage of people who are vulnerable.
Let me ask you this. Do you always make sure you have weed? Okay. Do you think about it a lot, right?
I think about weed a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All the time.
And not
stuff,
all the
right?
time.
No,
I have so much shit going on in my life. Weed is a part of my life.
Right. And that's fine, you know. But all I'm saying is that
I don't,
may not
I'm
be
not
right for
weed.
Everybody.
I'm not addicted to weed.
Okay,
I choose to smoke weed every day.
Should we do a sport and see if you can quit for a couple weeks?
A bet, maybe?
A bet?
What would be the purpose of it? I could definitely
To
quit.
Show that you probably can't.
I can quit.
You
I
see,
just don't
I say,
want to.
I know, but that's what all addicts say.
I have no reason to quit.
I can say I can quit cigarettes,
but I have no reason to quit.
Right.
My life is fine.
Exactly.
I'm happy in my relationship. My boyfriend consumes cannabis. My parents are comfortable with my choice to work in this industry.
Right.
I have two jobs. I'm a comedian. I'm fucking working towards my dreams, and cannabis has helped me.
Cool.
Not hurt me.
And that's the good thing about it. I mean, I'm obviously not a critic of it, but I do feel that having smoked it over the years.
It's all about teaching people responsible use. You have to acknowledge
its power. Okay, responsible
use.
Right? It ends up costing me a lot of money, and it preoccupies me sometimes.
But that's a choice.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a choice. Absolutely.
So the rest of us shouldn't suffer.
No, no, I didn't. Why would you suffer because of what I'm saying?
I'm just kidding. I don't. No, yeah. I think if you have a problem, you should definitely seek help, no matter what
That's
industry.
That's the key thing. It's
it
about
is,
a
but
problem.
But I think it's about finding what works for you.
Right.
Don't just, go to you, just some place that.
But you keep
you know
insisting
what I mean?
On weed. Weed is not the main problem here. The problem here is heavy drugs.
No, I said if you suffer from something, whatever it is, and right. you need help, go get that help.
Right.
Just get the right kind of help. Don't just like go to the AAs because I don't find what works for you.
Right.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. That, I agree with that. I agree with that.
In all aspects.
All right. Well, we're totally out of time. Stay tuned for Rachel's next show.
About weed.
About weed, the bud. If you haven't heard enough about it now, you can hear about it next hour with Olivia and Rachel. Rachel, thanks so much.
Always.
Tina, thank you so much for calling in. Thanks, everybody. Oh, we need to thank Casey, too, for calling in.
Oh, yeah.
And we'll see everybody tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Rachel, exclusively on LA Talk Radio.